there at Falls Baptist Church, and it was at a point in my life where I was not walking 100% where I should have been with the Lord, and not doing walking where I should have been. Well, as you know, Pastor Swanson is going to be coming here end of this week. And actually, he was the one that shared this passage with me, and just really meant a lot to me. So I was there, and one morning, he asked me, he's like, "Hey, do you want to come into my office?" I was like, "Ooh, I don't know if I want to do that." He's a dean of men there at the school, and I was a little scared. But now he talked with me for a while, and through some talking, he opened up this passage to me, Matthew chapter 7. So I'd just like to read this passage, and it's just been something that God has used a lot in my life and is still using, something where I'm still working on, still haven't, you know, figured it out, but, you know, God's using it, and I hope God will use it in your life as well. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 1. "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye." Let's pray as we open up this passage. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for this evening. Just pray that you would use this passage in the heart and in the life of everyone that's here. Please continue using it in my life as well. Just please guide my words here as I share your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in these verses, there is a sort of a, he uses something that is spiritual, more in the physical side, to sort of help explain. So first of all, I'd like to, probably most of you know, but I'd just like to make things clear here. What is a mote? Well, I looked that up. I wasn't sure exactly 100% what that actually meant. But what is a mote? It's pretty much referring to like a splinter or maybe some dust, something really small, probably from wood, you know, a sawdust or little splinter. That's pretty small, you know, compared to, you know, something big, you know, you got a big beam or something. That's pretty small. So you've got a mote or a splinter. And I'm just thinking, you know, I mean, I'm sure all of you have had a splinter at some point in time, you know, maybe even like a thorn or something like that. And it goes in pretty easily, but sometimes it's hard to get out, right? You know, it just goes in and it's hard to get out. So there's the mote there or the splinter. And of course, you know, many of you know that I work in a cabinet shop. I get splinters all the time, every single day. I mean, my hands are just full of splinters. And it just takes a long time to get them out. Well, I'm going to refer back to this later in the message, what the splinter is, or the mote in King James Version, what that is talking about, and how in our lives, how it's hard to get that out. But I'll get there in a bit. But then I was thinking, okay, well, it's one thing to have a splinter, but where does it say it's at? It says it's in the eye. Like, ooh, that's like, that does not sound good. I mean, anything in the eye just, yeah, that just doesn't sound too good. But it says, you know, in our brother's eye, there's a mote there. several years back, I remember at our house, this is not a splinter, but I was weed whacking one time, and I was dumb enough not to wear safety glasses, and I was there weed whacking beside our lane, which is full of rocks, and I hit a rock, and it came, flew up, and hit my eye. When it hit my eye, it scratched across the front and left tons of dust in there. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, for a long time after that, I couldn't see. It was like, even with one eye, it was hard to see because if I closed my one eye, then it would put pressure on that eye and it would really hurt. So thinking about how much that would hurt, thinking about something in your eye. So if you had something in your eye, would you want to wait to take care of it? I mean, like, would I just go about my day and, you know, just let it there? No, I'd want to take care of it right away, right away. So what, right, in this passage, the mote is referring to sin that is in someone's life, someone else's life, not in your life, but someone else's life. And then we see it uses two things. It uses the mote and it uses the beam. Of course, we all know what a beam is. You think about something that would hold up a building or something big and strong. And this would refer to sin that would be in our own lives. Sin that we have not taken care of, whether it's an ongoing problem or something that we just never confessed to God or to someone. So keeping that in mind, I think that will help us. You know, now we know sort of what the mote is talking about, sort of we know what the beam is talking about here. And so I just like to read it one more time. So I mean, most of you probably already knew that, but I like to read it one more time, just thinking about the mote is referring to, it says, thy brother's eye, someone else's eye, and that would be referring to sin in their life. And think about, as we read when it says the beam, it's referring to yourself personally and sin in your life. So let's read that again. Matthew 7, starting in verse 1. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. So first of all, I'd like to start in verse 1 here. Verse 1 and 2 sort of go together. And the verse first, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. So this, I feel like verse 1 and 2 is sort of an introduction, preparing you for the next three verses, verse 3 to 5. And so judge not. The first thing when I think about judging, you know, I think of a judge, you know, a judge there that is going to judge someone if they're wrong, and they're taking, maybe they're punishing someone, they're judging someone. This has a little bit of different meaning to it. Judging here, it means to look unfavorably on the character or actions of others. So this is, if I look at someone and I don't like, you know, maybe what they're doing, or maybe the character about them, I don't like how they act or what they're doing. This is what it's talking about. It says, judge not that he be not judged. So we see here that in verse 2, it says, with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So here it's saying that if you judge other people, probably other people will judge you the same way. How we look and how we view other people. Do we have a negative outlook on people? Do we see them and say a little bit negative? Or do we see positive? I'm going to read Luke 6:31. Let me get there. Luke 6:31 says, and as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. And so here this verse is talking about if you want someone, or if you how you want others to treat you, you should treat other people that way. Obviously, none of us want other people to look negatively on us. So in Luke 6, verse 31, it's saying, if you don't want other people to treat you that way, then I want you to treat them the same way you would want to be treated. So we need to be careful here that when we judge, sometimes we can often even, if you want to say misjudge, sometimes we look at someone and we say, you know, why are they like that or why are they doing that? And oftentimes we're actually wrong. We didn't really understand what was going on. And so that's even another thing with judging others is they're not our responsibility to take care of what they're doing. And so judging others is something that God does not want us to do. God wants us to, God has given the responsibility to take care of ourselves, not to take care of other people. Sometimes, you know, it's easy to look out. You know, it's easy to look out at everybody and see, oh, problem. And when I'm standing right here, I'm just the big problem. No, not really all the time, but all the time, you know, all the time we're looking at other people and, you know, seeing everybody else's problem when there's lots of things that we need to take care of. So verse 1 and 2 just describes when we judge others, we will be judged. And when we are critical, when we have a critical look on people, then it will come back on us. Other people will judge us as well. So often we can find faults in others when we have faults ourselves. So, you know, it's one thing when I look at someone and I see a problem there. God does give people to help each other as helping each other fight the battle, fight for what is right. But here in Matthew chapter 7, it's specifically talking about looking at other people's problems when you have sin in your life, when you're not focusing on yourself, but you're focusing on others, which it's good to focus on others, but not in the wrong way, obviously. We need to be positive about others, even if we don't understand what is going on. You know, when you meet someone, maybe someone new, what's the first thing you think about? Is the first thing you think about something negative, or is it something positive about them? You know, we know many people, none of us are perfect, and are we having that critical spirit and finding all the things that are wrong about them? God says that's not right. And we know in 1 Corinthians 13, I was studying that a little bit, and that's about what? Love. And loving our brothers and sisters. And we can see there that, I'm not going to read it, but if you read that chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, it's going over and over about not being proud, you know, loving others as you would want to be loved. So let's think about it. You know, how do we view other people? What is our thoughts about other people? Do we go home after church and think about all the things that people did that you didn't like, and you know, things that people said, things that people did? I know that's for me. I can easily, you know, do whatever and think, man, why did they say that? Why did they do that? And maybe that person was wrong. We need to be very careful that we're not sitting there thinking about what they did wrong, because probably we did probably something that offended someone else. But we're not focused on that. We're focused on, you know, what other people did. So how's our view to others? Do we have positive attitudes, or do we have negative attitudes toward people? So we're going to pretty much stay focused here. in verse 3 through 5. So what is the problem? I said it, but I'm going to say it again. The problem is when someone looks at someone else and sees that there's some sin in their life and they want to help them, but in reality, they're not going to be able to clearly help them if they have something that is hindering them from being a clean vessel, from being clean and pure before God. So we see a brother that has sin in his life, and as we think about this, I want everybody to think about when it says a brother that is in thy brother's eye, think about everyone around you. And when it says in thine eye, think about yourself. When I say thine eye, I'm not saying, you know, me or you. Just think about yourself and your brothers around you when it says that. So you see a brother, so yourself, you see someone else that has sin in his life, and you feel like you need to help him take care of it. But the problem is you have sin in your own life that you're not willing to take care of. So it is easy to look at others when the one that maybe I would say that you know best, the person who you are, is totally forgotten. You look at other people, and the person that God has given, you know, yourself, to be a holy person, to be a good testimony to others, and it's so easy to look out and see problems when we have problems ourselves. So I was thinking about this here. You know, it's thinking about someone that has sin in their life, and I was sort of, you know, putting this out into practical. So imagine, you know, go back to when I had that stone in my eye. Imagine, you know, I go straight to the eye doctor to see what needs to be done. So I go in there, have some, you know, it's really hurting. You know, the light is really bad for it. It's just super painful. Go in there, get in the waiting room, and go and see the eye doctor, get into his office, and there's this eye doctor standing there with a 2x4 in his head. And he's like, yeah, he's like, you know, I'm gonna, let me see you. And he turns his head to get something, and he whacks you in the head with the 2x4. And he's sort of trying to go around. You know, if that were me, you know, I'd be thinking, I'm getting out of here as fast as I can. Because obviously, you know, he's not going to be able to correctly help you with something. Is my problem serious? Yeah, it needs to be taken care of. But I don't care how much I need to be taken care of. He has something, he has a beam in his eye, and he's not going to be able to take care of, help anybody until he gets that taken care of. So I just like to go to 2 Samuel here. I'd like to see another passage here. Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 12. Probably once you get to the passage, you'll remember what story this is. It's a not one that we talk about too often, but it's definitely, we should all remember it some. But we're going to read several of the verses. So the first verse we're going to start in verse 1. So 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. Now, before I read this, obviously you remember King David. This was a little after King David. He tried to get Bathsheba, and then, of course, he killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, and that whole mess that he was in. And so that's sort of where we are, and he's trying to get out of it, trying to do everything he can to not be found out. So that's sort of where we are here in the story. So let's go to 2 Samuel 12, verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children, and it did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, "I anointed thee king over Israel, and I have delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. I have given thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon." So here we see King David, and what I thought this was a really good passage of how Nathan the prophet here was giving this story to show David where he was wrong. And unknown to King David, he had no idea what was going on. He just, you know, started listening to the story, and he started getting into it, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And you know, it's pretty simple. You know, what's happened here? You know, there's rich man, there's a poor man, and the rich man has lots of sheep, lots of flocks, and there's a poor man, and the poor man has one sheep. And you know, I'm not going to read it again, but it pretty much, I mean, it says, "It was unto him as a daughter." I don't know why it was like that, but this sheep was very special to him. He had one, and he took care of it. And we see here that a stranger came to this man's house, and we see that this rich man, he wanted to help this stranger. He wanted to look good, you know, give him some good lamb meat, I guess. But what did he want to do? He didn't want to sacrifice one of his for the sake of this stranger. So what does he do? He goes over to the poor man, takes a sheep, and kills it, and gives it to this stranger. Well, of course, any one of us would see that was totally unfair. That wasn't right. You know, he should have never done that. You know, he had tons for himself, and you know, this man that didn't have hardly anything. You know, this sheep was a prized possession. He apparently loved it, and we see this rich man goes and takes it. But what does that story do for King David? This story puts King David into a rage. It says, where did it say? It says, I can't find it. Oh yeah, verse 5, it says, "And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man." I mean, he was not happy. Like, we need to make sure that he will surely die, and he has to restore land fourfold. And what happens? Nathan the prophet says, "Thou art the man." And I'm sure when King David was probably, I'm not sure what he was doing, maybe sitting there on the throne, I'm sure he had to really think about that one. What is Nathan the prophet saying? And I'm sure that when Nathan the prophet said that, King David knew what he was talking about. I'm sure that right away that he knew what he had done wrong. He knew what he had done, that he had tried to, you know, try to not get caught in. And, you know, what does it say? You know, Nathan the prophet says, you know, I gave you what I gave you, but if you would have won more, you know, God would have given you more. But instead, you took what was not yours, instead of, well, he took what God did not have for him. And so thinking about this, we see David was so concerned about this man that had taken the sheep when he had taken this other man's wife, had killed this man, and he, you know, he tried to get around it. You know, he first sinned, then, you know, he tried to hide it, you know, did everything he could. And it seemed like the more he tried to hide it, the more he got into it. He just got into himself worse trouble. But, you know, back to Matthew 7, he was focused on someone else. He wasn't thinking about himself. He wasn't worried at that point what he had done. He's worried about someone else. So that brings us to sort of a question, I guess. So what did David do? What was he supposed to do at that point? Obviously, he knew that he had done wrong. And what did he do? Later in the passage, I didn't read it, but right after, he says, you know, I have sinned and I have done wrong, and he confesses it. So, you know, that's what I want to see here is if we can't, if we're always looking at other people, and, you know, it's not right to be negative about people. God does tell us that we can help other people if it's in the right way, you know, try to encourage or try to help someone maybe with something they're struggling with or something, some sin in their life. But what do you need to do first? And, you know, we come to 1 John 1:9, where it says, you know, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to go back to thinking about a splinter. You know, what happens when you get a splinter is you're maybe holding a piece of wood and it goes right in. I mean, split second, right in. And, you know, I was thinking about it, you know, it takes forever to get out sometimes. You know, those deep ones, you just dig in, can't get them out. I think that's the same thing sometimes with our sin. We do something that's easy, you know, the world, and it's easy to say, you know, oh, I'll just do this, it's okay. And sinning, fall into temptation, so easy, but then it's so hard to get that right to confess. You know, sometimes I know in my life, especially in my earlier years, there are so many things that in my life that was wrong that I didn't confess, and I waited years and years. I had so much stuff in my life, and I knew I was wrong, but I didn't want to confess it because, you know, when you take out a splinter, it really hurts. I mean, it hurts when it goes in, but it hurts when it comes out too. And same thing with sin. Sometimes we just don't want to get rid of our sin. We think, you know, it's okay, and then we sort of try to forget about it and then look at someone else's problem. But the answer is in 1 John 1:9. We need to immediately, when God shows us what's wrong, to confess what he has shown us. We know in Psalm 139, I'll just read that quickly. It's been some passage of scripture that has been a real help to me. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. It says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Here David is talking again, And he's saying, you know, he says, search me, O God. He is asking God to show him things, areas in his life that are wrong. You know, he was willing to say, you know what, God, I am willing, it might hurt to confess, but I'm willing to get that right so I can be right with you. God cannot use people that have sin in their life, because then we have, then we're not in fellowship with him, and we don't have that close communication with him. So God uses people that are right with him. So thinking about that, we need to take care of our sin when God shows us. Is there things in our lives? I know in my life, you know, there's definitely things that I need to change, or maybe I need to confess. And when God shows that to us, do we try to push it off, or do we say, you know, God is right there, willing to forgive, and we go and confess? So there's two things about confessing. Is first of all, we have to go to God, confessing to God, and then obviously confessing to man when that's necessary. Sometimes it's necessary to go to someone and confess to them. But guess what? When we confess, and we are all right with God, then that takes this situation of having the beam in our eye, and guess what? That beam is gone. And I'm not gonna, you know, this is not the main point of the message, but when we're right with God, then we can help other people. When we see someone else, obviously remember the first couple of verses, we can't, you know, judge and be critical about them. So I have to remember that. But when we're right with God, we can, if we see someone, you know, we can go and pray with them, maybe help them through different things, maybe something that they're struggling with, or maybe some sin that they have. And, you know, God uses us as pure and clean vessels for him to help other people. God has given the church, God has given brothers. I think it's neat that says, that is in thy brother's eye. That sort of gives me a thought, you know, the people around you, the Christians, you know, your family, the people that are around you. And God has given that so we can edify one another, so that we can come close. When someone's struggling, we can help them. But if we have sin in our own life, that we're not going to be effective, and we're not going to be able to properly help someone, because we're going to have our problems, and we're not going to be able to see clearly, because there's something in the way of you and God. So just thinking about what we've seen in this passage, first of all, let's not look negative about people, whether it's what they're doing or maybe their character about them. Let's not be negative. What's the opposite of negative? It's positive. So let's think positively about people. You know, let's encourage people. Let's edify people. You know, whatever that is, you know, maybe writing a note, just talking to them, maybe visiting them. It doesn't matter what it is. Let's think positive about people. Be positive. Second, let's always remember not to focus on others before ourselves. When we have sin in our life, we're not going to be useful to help other people. Always remember that that's why I think it's neat. It uses the beam. The beam is always in personally you, and that's putting, you know, in my look, I'm not going to have the moat and someone else have the beam. For me, I always have the beam, because that's what God is saying is the problem that needs to be taken care of first. That's the big thing that needs to be taken care of before we try to help others. So what's the What do we need to do if we have sin? We need to confess it. Is there things in our life that maybe we know that aren't right, that we just sort of try to forget or, hide? God says, confess, and he will forgive. And then lastly, when we do that, we can effectively encourage and help others so that they can be effective also. So let's just, I hope that throughout this week that you just continue thinking about that. And I hope it'd be a blessing to you as it is to me. So let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Dear Jesus, I just want to thank you for this evening that you've given us. I just pray that you would just continue using this scripture to work in our hearts and lives, that we would always remember to remember this passage, and that we would continue remembering it throughout this week, that we may be closer to you, that we would stay pure and holy before you. So we just want to thank you for this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.